You're listening to KPPP LP FM Radio.
Full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. Weapons, not food, not homes, not shoes, not need. Just feed the war cannibal animal. I walk the corner to the rumble that used to be alive. Pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells.
Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine. And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP LP FM. We're broadcasting live on Live 365 right now through the internet. But soon you'll find us at your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to this evening's show, today's show. We're talking today about lessons from 9/11. And that is also the title of an article, an editorial, actually, that I wrote on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. And here we are, almost at the 15th
yes.
year. You know, we're 1 year away from mm-hmm. that. And I know people always bring up their memories of 9/11. We actually did a show about, you did a show on banned music.
That's right. Yeah, banned music. Actually, I've done two shows on banned music. One was from 1959 to 1965. Mm-hmm. And then I did one from 65 to 1970. And the idea is that I was born in 1959 and I'm going through music because I like music. I'm not a music expert or a historian. But there's all sorts of music that's been banned from radio stations and record stores and for sale for many reasons. And it's been interesting to kind of look back at songs I know about or heard growing up and realizing that they were banned for parts of my life.
I really love those shows that you did about the band Music. Yeah, because
there's plenty more to come.
Yeah, those are really cool. I was really surprised to hear some of the reasons why the music was banned, because I did recognize a lot of those songs, and I remember loving some of those songs and going, oh yeah, that song just kind of went away. Why did that happen?
Yeah.
And then to find out the reasons why was pretty interesting.
Yeah. It can be for just ideas. A lot of anything pointing towards interracial relationships was banned in, you know, mm-hmm. late 50s, early 60s, mm-hmm. even all the way up to 1967, when the actual Loving decision, Loving versus Virginia, mm. went to the Supreme Court because this couple got married, a white man and a black woman, and they were thrown in jail and arrested and banned from the state to even be together. A song came out in that same year, was talking about a relationship between a black woman and a white man, that they just couldn't have one because society wasn't ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of songs, too. Sometimes these band songs resulted in the band never doing another record.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of those sentiments that keep people from being able to have relationships together still are pervasive today, even though interracial marriage is legal now.
Yeah.
When you were born, it had just become legal.
Yeah, well, actually, it didn't become legal till I was 8 years old.
Oh, you were just a little kid.
I was.
And so people in generations prior to you couldn't legally marry someone like me.
That's right.
We couldn't be a thing.
Yeah, we were banned.
We were banned.
Just like the music.
Just one generation ago.
Yeah.
Like in your lifetime,
it
just changed.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, even though I think both you and I can say that being in an interracial couple isn't easy.
It no.
It's not something that is viewed well by everyone.
No, and in fact, it's argued against in our topic of today, 9/11. I blame that as part of it, because it's a propaganda machine that is trying to keep people apart, trying to keep people, different races of people, apart from each other.
Well, I have to agree with you. Actually, that was what my editorial was about, the one that I wrote on today's topic, which is Lessons from 9/11. And that's also the title I gave to this editorial, because I feel that at the 10-year anniversary, we should have learned some lessons. And from what I could see in our society, it didn't seem like we were figuring out the lessons that 9/11 was showing us about our society. And so today we're going to talk about a lot of that kind of thing. And I think it's really interesting that you did those songs on band music, because tonight mm-hmm. you played some band music after 9/11, right?
That's right. There was a whole list of songs at Clear Channel. After 9/11, Clear Channel had put out some memos to different stations. I mean, they have over 1,170 radio stations in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So they were writing out suggestions that there's some songs, there's a people are upset. We need to decide not to play music that'll upset people more. So they started doing a list of songs. And that list started to grow. And we're playing just three songs from that list. You know, the first one you just heard was a song from Rage Against the Machine. In fact, all Rage Against the Machine songs shouldn't be played after 9/11 because it'll upset people. And Rage Against the Machine is talking about resistance against the machine. You know, it's the rage against the machine.
Hence the name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, Rage Against the Machine is on the list? And
yeah.
It says, it's funny because the rest of the list is, and we'll have a link to this band list story on kppfm.com along with this podcast,
mm-hmm.
so that people can go check out the list for yourself. Because
yeah.
there's, how many songs are on that list?
About 150.
That's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
That is a lot of songs. And I looked at that list. I dare anybody to look at that list and tell me that all of those songs make sense to you, because some of them are ridiculous to me. I'm like,
yeah, like Billy Joel's Only to Good Die Young, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Billy Joel is great.
Yeah.
Why would you ban a Billy Joel song?
That's right.
He's as American as apple pie. Uh-huh. Come on.
Exactly.
I don't get it. It's like, it brings out some of the ugliest tendencies in us when we start acting out in fear after there is some kind of threat of war, threat of terror.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, I believe, throughout the history of this country has been propaganda.
It is. Yeah, very much.
And worldwide. I mean, it could be argued that as well. But with regard to, our current situation and the recent anniversary of 9/11, I think it definitely needs to be revisited. And that's why we're talking about it today.
Exactly.
I didn't want to talk about it on 9/11 because I feel that that is a day that really needs to be reserved to remember the fallen people, the people that died,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is something that we need to respect. However, I think that the way in which the memorial of 9/11 is presented to the public is also not legitimate. It's not...
Well, they call it Patriot Day now.
It's not honest, though, because they leave out a lot of information. For example, did you know that there was 260 some, maybe 40 some. I'm getting it mixed up, either the four or the six. But
right.
I remember it was like 200 and some Latinos were killed in the Twin Towers.
Mm.
And that's not counting any possible deaths in the other two incidences, right?
Yeah.
So it isn't as if people of color weren't killed in the terrorist attacks of 9/11. However, that isn't what people highlight. It is presented in many ways as an attack on America herself, like on Lady Liberty or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion of how people react to the terror, or how people reacted in past tense to the terrorist attacks, is very different. There was a story that I saw circulating on social media about a Mexican family whose child had died in the 9/11 attacks in the tower. And they sent a letter to the editor in the days following the attacks. And they were saying that they couldn't understand how other people were reacting in America, especially other people that had experienced loss like they had in that in those towers, because they didn't want to start a war. They didn't want to go out and kill people. They didn't want to get revenge. In fact, they could clearly see and understand why the policies of our country would lead to the kind of anger and hurt abroad that would cause people to commit such a heinous act. Not that they were condoning it, but they could understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want it to escalate any further. They wanted to seek peace for themselves, for the other families, for our country. They wanted no retribution. They wanted peace. And I think that was also my first reaction. And in the moments after the towers fell, and I'm going to tell a little bit about my story.
All right.
Where I was. Yeah. I want to hear yours too.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people share those stories, you know, for a reason. We share them for a reason, kind of like, where were you when Kennedy
was assassinated?
Yeah. Everybody who was alive then, I wasn't alive then, so I was the twinkle in my daddy's eye.
Oh, yeah. And you're still twinkling.
Why, thank you, Duke. You're so sweet.
I was only 4 years old, so I don't remember.
Right, but I mean, most people do in my dad's age generation, you know, talk about where they were, or, you know, how did they learn about this, or when did they find out about the Vietnam War? the Vietnam War was televised. Everybody knew who Walter Cronkite was. And yeah. there were certain things that people all gravitate toward in their memories of history.
Yes.
And 9/11 is definitely one of them.
Yes.
And not just here, worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone heard about 9/11. Everyone.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I definitely want to hear what folks have to think about our, you know, discussion tonight on lessons learned about 9/11, whether you want to share your own story. You can leave comments right there on the
podcast itself. You know, if you go to kpppfm.com, and obviously if you're listening to this, that's where you are, right below the podcast, you can post a comment. You can also give us a call with the telephone. You can contact us at 701-566-0917. It's a message machine. You can leave a voicemail, you know, a couple of minutes worth. Tell us who you are, where you live, and we might play it on the air. That would be really cool, huh? You can also tweet us at media_PPP. And if you want to do the old-fashioned email, Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com.
Yeah, and, you know, if somebody wants to share their where they were 9/11 story and they want us to read it, we'd be glad to do that, and probably email would be the best way so that they had, you know,
plenty of space
to share their story. But I'm going to share a little bit about my story. And really quickly before that, I want to mention that another show that we did, a couple of shows that we did prior yeah. to the band music shows, were about hashtag Another Line Cop.
That's right.
And where we were talking about this, how common it was for corruption and lack of transparency and lack of oversight and lack of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We could find across the board in this country, in police departments, in every state, everywhere.
That's right.
And why we wanted to have a discussion about changing this narrative that it's only one bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
And not examine the system-wide problem and the kinds of collateral damage, if you will, that they cause in the form of black and brown dead bodies.
Yeah.
At the hands of police every single day. So it isn't, I don't believe it isn't a coincidence that ever since 9/11, the incremental fear factor, the terrorism alerts, the airport security,
that's right,
the surveillance,
mm-hmm.
The increase of surveillance, the reported suspicious activities.
Yes, the Homeland Security Act.
And on and on
and on.
You know, I remember wondering for a while, because this was constantly on, the threat level alert that we were
day. That's right. The different colored alerts, right. Orange and yellow and red.
I don't know what they called them. It was like, are we at DEFCON 4 yet?
Yep, pretty much. That's what they were.
It felt like we were in some weird utopian movie, you know.
And that sort of thing influenced travel.
Dystopian.
Right. And those threat levels influenced people's ability to travel, which we'll hear about yours, because you were traveling on 9/11. But, you know, after that, there would be this, I did a lot of music, worked with bands and promoted shows and those sorts of things. I remember a few years later that we were up to like orange or yellow. It was like a higher elevated risk, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And a band from Canada was coming down to play in Fargo, and they couldn't get into the country. Mm. You know, they're at the border stuck because the American government said, "Nope, we're not letting anybody in because we're at orange today." You know.
Well, that is exactly what happened the day that I was crossing the border into Mexico.
Ah.
I was going to Mexico to visit, and I was driving at night because I always liked crossing when there was less cars.
Mm-hmm.
So the later the better, the closer to midnight and the next day that you got there, the less, you know, line you have to deal with at the crossing of the border. So anyway, I'm waiting and I finally cross the border in the wee hours of the night and get in a hotel and wake up the next morning, you know, kind of late, probably around, I don't know, maybe 10, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't like a 6 o'clock or, you know, bright and early wake up because I'd been driving for a long time. And then we got up and we went to the restaurant to eat breakfast. And there's all these TVs around us, you know?
Yeah.
And they're showing these images of the World Trade Center being hit.
Okay.
And they're saying that this just happened. So I'm watching this broadcast as they're talking about how World Trade Center number one has been hit.
Yeah.
Right? World Trade Center number two has not yet been hit.
Okay.
While I'm watching this, they're just talking incessantly about the first one.
All right.
Blah, 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 blah. We're eating breakfast. I'm like, what is this stuff? You're like, what are we watching right now? Because it doesn't make any sense. They were showing over and over again the looped image of this plane flying into the building, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, first of all, if this really happened, okay, which of course it doesn't. This is not happening. This is a movie. I'm thinking, you know, but if this was really happening, how in the heck do they have footage from so many different angles of this plane flying into the Twin Towers as if it was a movie? Like there just randomly happened to be that many people looking into the sky at the exact moment and they had their phones out.
That's right.
And they got these images. Seriously? I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then when I saw how the plane like went into the building and everything, I was just like, there's no way that a plane could fly into New York and get that close to the World Trade Center. Okay, I'm not saying it's the White House or that it is like, you know, the Pentagon, or both of which, according to the other two attacks, were also hit or intended to be hit during this attack, right? The one that was supposed to hit the White House, it landed in a field, and the one that was supposed to hit the Pentagon, it blew up outside and left a big hole in the building.
Yeah.
These are the official reports.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people that don't believe this.
Yeah.
And people that do not believe the official story are called, you know, conspiracy theorists or truthers or what have you. But is it really that far-fetched for people to distrust the official stories of our government when so many of the official stories that our government has told us about the past has been lies?
That's right. That's right. You have to keep your mind open. And also the 9/11 commission did a report, and there's been all sorts of people who have dissected that and brought in new evidence. And there's a lot to talk about, but people don't want to talk about that because the imagery of what happened and the propaganda behind it is keeping people pretty much asleep and just...
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know. I don't care whether you believe the people that say that there's something fishy about this and that the government planned it or the government had something to do with it. Our government doesn't have any moral authority anymore. Okay, folks?
Plus, our government operates independent from itself in so many different ways. And that's when these reports come up later in time. There is a group of people that did this damage and covered it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were part of the government, but it's not like the whole government was had a memo on it that day and they knew this was going on.
Yep. Like the Kent State massacres.
That's what
like
I was thinking about. Yeah.
Government's involvement. They ordered the National Guard to shoot at unarmed peaceful students.
That's right.
Who they knew to be unarmed
mm-hmm.
and completely peaceful.
Yep.
They did that with orders from our government.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We've also been involved in the coup d'etat of various governments all throughout Latin America
That's
and other
right.
places.
Mm-hmm.
We have put enthroned puppet governments at our whim so that we can rape and steal the resources of these poor third world countries. Like we did in Argentina with Pinochet, who was a genocidal leader that killed and imprisoned and took the, you know, violated the human rights of a lot of people in his country. One of the largest human rights nightmares that the country has ever known.
Yeah.
And this isn't something uncommon. We also aided in killing Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And our country mm-hmm. was responsible for the Bay of Pigs. Mm-hmm. Our country is responsible mm-hmm. for the murder of Che Guevara.
That's right.
The list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And hello, Snowden.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up, folks. Mm-hmm. It's not like our government has clean hands.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan, you know, Oliver North, the Contras,
yeah. mm-hmm.
the sale of drugs, the CIA, yes. the crack. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could spend a lot of time framing of Black Panthers. How many 20-some
mm-hmm.
Black Panther members of the Black Panthers were killed by our government?
That's right.
So that they could dismantle a freedom fighting group?
Mm-hmm.
And where are we? Where are we at today? Supposedly, we killed Osama bin Laden, the guy that supposedly hit the towers,
That's
right?
That's right, yeah.
And then there was this recent article that was published by a guy who's best-selling, I think he's award-winning, some award-winning author. I don't want to say he's Nobel, but I think he is. And I cannot for the life of me remember his name right now. But you can Google this. He's written a lot of books about history. He's very respected. And he says he's got inside sources that told him what the real deal was on that Osama bin Laden killing.
Okay.
And it was, it actually answers a lot of the questions a lot of people have about, hey, that doesn't make any sense. And it places the United States in collusion with the Syrian government and also with Osama bin Laden. I mean, we created that guy. He was an operative of the CIA, trained by the CIA.
And equipped
with mm-hmm. weapons
That's
by
right.
the CIA.
Yeah.
So, folks, come on. We can't be that naive as to be so angry at anyone that brings up the idea that perhaps our government is trying to dupe us.
That's right.
That we're like, no, I'm going to go wave a flag now. You stay over there, you Benedict Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is kind of how we behave. We're either militantly patriotic or we are, you know, crazy. We're conspiracy theorist nutballs, you know. There is no middle ground in America, it seems. But I believe that I'm not saying that I know what the truth is, because I don't think that we're intended to know the truth. I know that our government lies to us a lot.
Definitely.
I do know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that they do it for propaganda.
Exactly. Well, today is actually Leonard Peltier's 71st birthday, and he's been in prison for 40 years.
Say that.
And he was actually tried in Fargo, North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
you know, in 1975. And, you know, there's been lots of information, lots of court documents and transcripts and evidence that he should be exonerated. And here we are 40 years later, and there's still people believe that he killed those FBI agents, and he never did. And there's proof that he never did. And he was framed. Yet people hang on to that propaganda that he was an AIM activist and the AIM needed to be stopped, and they were militant, and they put him in prison and stopped the movement.
And the same way that people refused to look at all of the evidence, watch incident at Oglala.
Mm-hmm.
Educate yourself. If you even scratch the surface, you will see there is ample evidence that this man was framed, and that there was a bunch of Black Panthers that were killed, and that all of these people liberation movements, people of color liberation movements, mm-hmm. the massacre in LAPD, the anniversary of which just passed a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned it in another show that we did, where they killed four protesters and one Mexican reporter. All of these movements for liberation that occurred in 1968, the government violently repressed them with the mm-hmm. help of police. And the rest of mainstream America, white America, yes, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Y'all looked away.
Definitely.
You just looked away. You pretended you didn't see it. You ignored it. Just like you're ignoring all the racism that's directed at Latinos and Muslims and Blacks. And silently condoning, and 47% of you approving of, people like Donald Trump and his rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Hateful, evil, mean-spirited rhetoric. And yet, there it is. It existed back in the 60s. Do you know that the majority of people in America, 68%, I think, something like a large percentage of Americans back then believed that race relations were not a problem in America? When Martin Luther King was marching on Washington.
Yeah.
They could ignore that and go, there's no problems. There's no racism in America. In the same exact way that people in America today can watch people marching in Baltimore mm-hmm. and in Ferguson.
Exactly.
And in New York and in California and all over this country, in St. Louis, and just turn a blind eye and go, there's no racism in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the real problem is? The problem is an increase in crime, increase in criminals,
that's right.
an influx of criminals and bad people and crime, and an attack on our brave police officers, on the people that protected this country from terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think we've all been brainwashed. I mean, we've been sold a lot of bunk. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after this break, but I want to take a quick break.
Oh, yeah.
And you have another one of those banned songs. They weren't technically banned.
Well, they were suggested not to play. And right. There was a circulation of a story that they were banned. But, you know, if you look further at the actual memos and the stories done in the Washington Post and New York Times, they were dictating that we shouldn't probably play these songs. And they weren't telling them they couldn't. But there was that strong urging of, you know, censorship. The song I'm going to play now, we're going to play now, is Black Sabbath, War Pigs, and it was on that list. So mm-hmm. have a listen to that.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. This world stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Thank you.
Black Sabbath, War Pigs.
You know, I've never really liked Black Sabbath that much, but that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was. It makes me want to turn it up really loud and sit around and listen to it for a while.
I know. That was kind of awesome. I can't believe they banned all these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've just tuned in, we're talking about the lessons from 9/11. That's today's topic. And you're listening to Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And we're on KPPPLPFM. We're broadcasting right now through Live 365, but soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM.
That's right.
Adding local color to your airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about band music because that's some of, you've done some shows on band music.
Yeah, I've done two shows. I plan to do quite a few more because there's a lot of band music.
It's fun. It's fun to listen to the reasons why the music was banned. And it really created division, I think, mm-hmm. in our country, in our communities.
Yes.
A lot of these banned songs, a lot of this censorship comes from division.
Division, yes.
And I think that's one of the lessons that I was talking about in the editorial I wrote on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, back when I was the editor of the High Plains Reader.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we have a link where folks can actually read the whole.
That's right. I'll post a link right below the podcast under the sources.
Yeah. So you can go read the whole thing. I'm not going to read it to you here. But that was one of the lessons I feel that we needed to take away from what happened during 9/11, which is how it changed people afterwards, how people behaved toward anyone perceived to look Muslim.
That's right.
The religion of Islam,
mm-hmm.
the burning of Qurans, yeah.
The burning of mosques,
yes.
The prevention of mosques being built in cities,
attacks, yes. on Muslim people.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember recently there was a guy that killed some Muslims in somewhere on the East Coast in a parking lot.
Oh yeah.
And they try to pass the story off not as a hate crime against Muslims, but just, you know, some wacko that, you know, lost his mind and just shot these people, mm-hmm. over a parking dispute.
Wow. I'm
like, no.
Yeah.
Now, people don't shoot each other over parking disputes.
No.
I think there is a little bit more to this story because
definitely
a racial component,
mm-hmm.
a hate component for sure. And that's something that, unfortunately, is on the rise with the type of rhetoric that we've seen since 9/11, the increase in the militarization of police, the ongoing war on drugs and war, you know, frankly, I think they should just call it the war on people of color.
Yeah.
The mass incarceration of Black people, brown people, the daily killing at the hands of police of people of color. Especially people that are unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I even heard a story today about a Mexican man who was shot on his property inside his garage, filming a SWAT team across the street. So,
wow.
Cops showed up, SWAT team shows up, and you know how everyone tells you now, film the police, and we say, mm-hmm. that to everybody
because
that's your constitutional right. When you're in public, and especially if, mm-hmm. you're on your own private property.
Exactly.
To film what's going on, and you should,
mm-hmm.
for accountability. And yet they saw him filming over there and they shot him and they claimed that they did this in self-defense because they thought he was holding a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
And the weapon was a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And these kinds of things scare the bejeebus out of me.
Oh, yeah.
This is the escalation of fear that I saw,
mm-hmm.
that I predicted would happen the moment I crossed the border and realized it was going to be really difficult for me to get back home.
Get back in the United States.
Wow. Right. And then I thought, oh my goodness, when are we going to go to war,
mm-hmm.
with whoever?
Mm-hmm.
And soon after that, I realized we're going to go to war with everybody.
That's right.
And then, I wondered, you know, what are we going to, is America going to go back to being the same? And no, it wasn't. And, you know, of course we couldn't after what happened, but the ways in which we changed, I think, were very directed by our media, by our government, by propaganda, in a direction that focused entirely too much on people of color. Somehow, this terror threat and the fear, the security threat, translated into a hatred of Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
And having to build the border wall and protect our borders because terrorists could come through
So let's just seal it up.
Yeah, but nobody cares whether or not the Canadian border is secure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the real problem isn't security. It's fear of the other.
Yes.
And that is something that is very ugly. And it's something that we should be combating, not propagandizing or glamorizing in our media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm really proud of our community because there's going to be an event that's going to start tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
The Welcoming Week event that is part of National Welcoming Week,
mm-hmm.
which will be taking place from September 12th through September 20th. But mm-hmm. here in Fargo-Moorhead, there's 2 weeks of events planned starting tomorrow. Kicking off with the community table at 11:30 a.m. at Ravenous Park. And that is at 315 18th Avenue Southwest.
Oh, yay.
And this is put together by Growing Together and the Cultural Diversity Resource Center. And then ending on September 24th with a citywide job fair. There's even going to be a workshop on how to best take advantage of job fairs.
That's right.
It's going to take place right before that, I believe, right?
I see. Yes. Yes. And you know, what's really interesting is starting today, they're going to be putting up flags. They probably have them all up by now on Broadway. They're going to have flags from 50 nations flying in downtown Fargo, and they're putting them up today, and they're going to be there every day for the whole 2 weeks.
Yay.
And so that's kind of like the first event was putting up the flags today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wondering what all those flags are, all those countries, it's National Welcoming Week. We're supposed to welcome people into our community.
Yes. And their motto is connecting neighbors, serving community.
Great. We did a really good podcast on this just a couple days ago. If you go to our kpppfm.com website and go to podcast, we have a about an hour-long podcast that we interviewed people that are involved in this, and we did interviews with five different people representing five different organizations.
That's right. And you can also go on Facebook if you want to check out the schedule of events at facebook.com/welcomingfmarea.
That's right.
And they have just a ton of really great events. They're going to have lots of food, a movie night, a soccer tournament featuring, like, how many countries did they say?
Six different countries.
Six different countries will be represented in this international soccer tournament sponsored by the Fargo Social Outreach Development Center. And I want to give a shout out to the We Center Open House.
That's right.
We interviewed Christian about that. And they're going to have a potluck and open house at 5 p.m. at the New Wellness and Empowerment Center at 1521st Street South. So definitely check all that stuff out. Participate in something good that can come out of our lessons learned from 9/11.
That's right.
Because instead of sponsoring hate and fear, we should be, you know, fomenting unity.
Mm-hmm.
And community.
Exactly.
And, I think that whatever we can do locally will reflect globally.
Exactly.
You can start right, you know.
Right at home.
Right at home.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend, Mayor Del Rey, I always forget that she's also the mayor.
That's right. My neighbor, Del Rey?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. She's the mayor.
She's the mayor of our town. Isn't that cool?
It is.
She always says Gandhi quote, be the change you want to see.
Yeah. Yes.
And by the way, she's also going to be at this welcoming event. I know she's going to be participating in that on behalf of Moorhead. So this is a community-wide event It's a great opportunity to go out and meet folks and find out the ways in which you can connect to your neighbors and find out about the different services and opportunities that there are for work in the North Dakota region. And so to get back to today's topic.
Yes.
I think one of the lessons that 9/11 really taught me is that whenever something happens to our community, we have a tendency to separate ourselves and otherize other people in our community. I think I saw that a lot, not only in the media and in policing and mm-hmm. policies and in government, but also in the increase in constant wars. I mean, basically, our country's been at war since 9/11.
That's right.
And it hasn't stopped.
Mm-mm.
And there's always a new threat. I mean, you know, like, we're finally leaving Iraq. Are we out of Iraq yet?
No, we're not.
We're not really out of Iraq.
No, we're not out of
Why
anywhere.
Do we keep saying that we're out of Iraq?
It's all hype, you know, troop reductions and all that sort of stuff, you know. It's a bunch of hype.
But we're really not out of there.
No, we're not.
I mean, if anything, I think we just, you know, entrenched ourselves further in places like Cuba, and like new frontiers are opening
yeah.
up again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that at the time I wrote the piece that people can find at kpppfm.com, along with all our other podcasts,
mm-hmm.
including the one on Welcoming Week, which is really cool. You played a lot of really cool world music.
That's right.
That mm-hmm. one. Is that we escalated our fear and our threats of terrorism, you know, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made us, I think, more insecure. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think we're definitely more insecure because we've been being fed things that aren't true. And I think it has changed so many things. I remember I was actually at a state park in southern Minnesota on 9/11, and the park was suddenly empty. And I didn't know why, and I drove home, a couple hours home. I didn't even listen to the radio. And when I got to town, there was cars everywhere, gas stations. I thought, what's going on? You know, and I thought, I should be concerned. And I went and turned on the television and started seeing what was going on. And I felt like, I need to go get gas. I mean, that was my driving thing. I need to fill my car's tank up right now. And it's like, when I think back at how that affected me, it was like, I was like shocked and I didn't know what to think. But the imagery and what was being said in this terror attack and we're being attacked, it was like, yeah, what can I do? Go get gas. You know, so, and it's like, it's been like that ever since, in the sense that the messages that have been propagated towards us to think fear, be afraid, like you said earlier, to be afraid of the other. It's just been so strong that it's been building policies. It's been breaking people apart, and it's been putting people in their little bunkers of white reality that aren't even true. And so I think it's affected so many things. I've been a community organizer for, you know, over 20 years, and it definitely changed the way we do tactics, the way we do media, the way we actually do public events, the way we do demonstrations. It's dangerous. Like right now, like you just said, you can get shot by bringing out your phone to film a SWAT team.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that that's any, you know, surprise given the human rights abuses that are being perpetrated by the police on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's human rights organizations, and even the United Nations has now called on the United States to do something about the human rights abuses
Good.
That are going on here. I would hope that at some point other countries step in to try to protect people from the ongoing genocide that Native nations, Indigenous people, and Mexicans are currently being subjected to,
mm-hmm.
Both with this narco-funded war on drugs that our government is participating in,
mm-hmm.
with Mexico's corrupt puppet president, Enrique Peña Nieto,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, throughout Latin America in other countries where they're exerting oppression over other countries. I hope that other countries see that the people of this country who are being oppressed, the people of color, black mm-hmm. people, primarily Native people, Mexican people who are now becoming the target, not Latino people, are becoming the target of hate crimes now because of the Trump of rhetoric and all of this anti-immigrant hatred that is being spread in our media and by even our public figures. Not limited to Trump, by the way, because these other presidential candidates are jumping into the fray.
They are, yeah.
But I wanted to really quickly read a piece of this Lessons from 9/11 that kind of encapsulates what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I said, perhaps the question should be, have we learned the right lessons? Fear has taught us to be needlessly over defensive and stifled our ability to heal from the losses. We keep flushing money down a never-ending rat hole of weapons, war, and death abroad, on our border, and within our country. And meanwhile, unemployment is rampant and steadily rising. Homelessness, especially among single mothers with children, is increasing. Taxes, so that our children have teachers and adequate educations, are rising. Calls for acts of patriotism wrapped in televangelist-style pseudo-newspeak are growing, and reports of police brutality, profiling, and abuses of authority all are rising. The only thing not rising is our collective IQ. And that was on the 10th anniversary.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the police profiling and the police violence, police brutality, is epidemic in this country. I've seen some of the most horrific human rights violations I never thought I would see. I thought that the most horrific human rights violations I had seen was the lynchings and the beatings of Black people and the killing of Latinos and things that I had been shown from the 60s about this country.
Mm-hmm.
And before the 60s about this country. I never expected I would be experiencing it in this lifetime and on a crescendo ever since I was born.
That's right.
On an ever-rising crescendo to a terrifying height.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it is up to us to confront the terror, to confront this hatred with which we are being spoon-fed on a daily basis by saying, enough. Basta.
Basta.
I'm up to here. I'm sick of this, you know? One way that I like to remember 9/11 is by remembering all of the freedoms that Americans have lost, all the fear that we have incremented in our society in the ways, in the negative ways, in our health, in our access to information, in our ability to be free of surveillance, in our human rights, in our due process rights, in our ability to fly quickly somewhere without being body cavity searched, and et cetera. Those all are losses that our country has collectively faced, even though most people in this country were not affected directly by the loss, a physical loss of a loved one in those terrorist attacks.
Very true.
So I leave you folks with those thoughts. I hope to hear more of yours. Be sure to leave us your comments, questions, topic ideas at 701-566-0917 or tweet us at media_PPP. If you'd like to share your stories with us, you can also send us an email at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to take you out with another band song by Clear Channel. It's called Green Day Brain Stew. You're listening to KPPP LPFM.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting sheep but running out. Time ticks by, still I try. No rest for cross-ups in my mind. On my own, here we go.
feel like they're gonna bleed. Right up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry. My face is numb. Fucked up and spun out in my room. On my own, here we go. The clock is laughing in my face. Crooked spine. My senses.